Hey friend, welcome back. I am beyond excited to get started. Happy New Year. And we are going to be talking about breaking free from the cycle of self-hatred. Anybody raise their hand here? This episode is really going to dive into condemnation versus conviction, but I'm also going to walk you through the process of sorrow and what does it look like to repent, because condemnation and conviction bring very different things. And really, self-hatred, we're going to talk about what really is self-hatred. What is the root of this? But most importantly, we want to break free from it, right? So in this episode, I'm really going to dive into how do we break free of really the weight that comes with, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to be happy. And all the things that we tell ourselves. If you're feeling that right now at the beginning of the new year, coming off the holiday, just hang with me because we're going to dive deep into this topic and we're just going to break some chains. Okay. Hey friend, do you feel distant from God? Are you constantly trying to understand if God is good, then why do bad things happen? Do you wish the church had more conversations around things like depression, anxiety, or grief? Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places. And this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a biblical counselor, mentor, author, and speaker. I'm the big sister who's going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we are going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. How to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God and the church. So pull up a chair and join me at the table. Let's go on this journey together, friend. Before we get to the episode, though, and into the meat of today's topic, I really just want to invite you to join us inside the Patreon member community. I am so excited about this, mainly because it is a resource. It is a community to equip you to find comfort in the midst of the chaos of life. If you are feeling overwhelmed, if you are feeling like you don't have time for anything, or you just are searching for somebody to get you and to understand you and to feel seen and to feel heard as you work through maybe mental torment, as you're just reaching for hope, join us inside of the member community. Right now, the current rate is only $7 a month. And guess what? You can cancel at any time. The price will probably go up after the new year. So join now at $7. Head to the show notes. You will find the link to join below. Okay, let's get now into how do we break free of this cycle of self-hatred? I'm going to get started right away with the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation produces a cycle of self-hatred. It focuses on who we are as a person and what I did. So condemnation, it's condemning you for your actions. How dare you? How could you? Why don't you ever show up? Why can't you just read your Bible? Why can't you just do this? Why can't you just say that? Oh, I'm so stupid. Anybody raise their hand? Conviction now, that's different because conviction actually shows us the way out of the cycle and points us to Jesus. Condemnation keeps us pinned down and it shows us the way of ourselves. It shows us where we kind of fall short. It shows us that where we can't and we won't and will never be. But conviction, it shows us the way out of the cycle. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. I'm going to read this. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourself innocent in the matter. Now, just to give you a brief little history here of what the Corinth church was doing at the time Paul was writing this letter. The church was really divided between loyalty to different leaders. There was a ton of immorality. There was confusion about whether or not to be married or single. There was confusion about the future resurrection. Food was often an area of conflict and concern. So when Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, he wasn't excited about writing this letter of correction, okay? But he was glad that it brought sorrow because that sorrow led to repentance, which led them to living differently. And when I think self-hatred is involved, we can also think about this process of forgiving ourselves, which I'm not going to get really into that too much. But Paul, in many ways, set an example of forgiving oneself because he was a violent persecutor of the church. And rather than live in a cycle of self-hatred and kind of, why did I do this? And how could I do this? And oh my gosh, I cannot believe I did this. And rather than live in shame and regret over what he'd done or think that God could not use him, God did not remind him constantly of his sin, but he spread the gospel broadly and boldly. This was not from him trying to make up for his past. Rather, it was out of his understanding of God's great salvation. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 1:15 through 17, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." I want us to think about this for a moment, that Paul had a past. You have a past. Paul has done many things, and he still considered himself to be worthy to spread the gospel because of the mercy on his life. You have a past. I have a past. We've done things. We've said things. But Paul's sin actually became an avenue by which God was glorified. So rather than refusing to forgive himself, which really is just a correlation of receiving God's forgiveness, he rejoiced in it. What does this have to do with breaking free of the cycle of self-hatred? It has everything to do with that. Because we are holding on to and this inability to forgive ourselves and to work through what happened, what we did, what we said. But when we build walls, we must recognize that walls don't only keep people out, they keep us locked in. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 7 through 10. It tells us that there is a godly type of sorrow and an ungodly type of sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Ungodly sorrow, which is a sorrow of this world, kills us. And the sorrow of this world, I think, also leads us into a cycle of self-hatred. So therefore, sorrow alone is not repentance, and true repentance rarely occurs without godly sorrow. I think our culture in the church and just everywhere has rejected all negative emotions. But God gave us the capacity for these negative emotions, and there's a proper use for them. Ecclesiastes 7:3 says, "Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance of the heart is made better." We should feel bad about sin. It's why we experience guilt. There should be sorrow over our failures. However, this sorrow should lead us to repentance. And then when forgiveness is received, our sorrow should be cast upon the Lord. So hear me when I say this, that we are going to experience guilt, that we are going to experience feeling really gross and yucky and uncomfortable about the things that we've done, and that there should be sorrow over those things. But we don't get to stay there. And that is the good news, that in that, because remember, conviction and condemnation are different, that our sorrow would lead us to repentance. Guilt is a feeling of taking responsibility for an offense or wrongdoing. Guilt, we experience guilt when we violate God's principles. We experience guilt when we're aware of doing something wrong. So I want you to think about this process then. We may sin. then we experience guilt based off of that sin, violating God's principles, missing the mark. Then from that guilt, it can lead us to repent. And then from then, we become guiltless. Guiltless of that wrongdoing because of Jesus. So we sin, we experience guilt, we repent, and we become guiltless. It is because of Jesus that we can experience freedom and break free from the cycle of self-hatred. It is the sorrow of our hearts that motivates us to change direction, which leads us to repentance. So let's talk briefly now about repentance. And this is really where we start to break free. The word repent in Hebrew means to turn. So we are turning back to God when we repent. The Greek meaning is the act of changing one's mind. Therefore, to repent is to change our minds, that changes our heart, that changes our direction. The Old Testament fulfills the New Testament. Okay, so God is looking for a heart response to our sorrow that leads us to repentance. And that repentance is a genuine response to the godly sorrow. Okay, now, I want you to think about this, another path that we take. So when we feel conviction about something that happened, that was said, that was done, that conviction prompts us into godly sorrow, which leads to confession, which leads to repentance. Okay. The first thing that we experience, conviction, it prompts sorrow. Conviction shows us the way out. Conviction doesn't focus on me as the person, meaning who I am, but it focuses on my behavior. So my position in Christ doesn't change. So he's not addressing my identity. It's my behavior, my actions that is being addressed. But condemnation produces this cycle of self-hatred because it's constantly focusing on who I am as a person and what I did. So conviction is first. Then we go into godly sorrow, which is actually Greek for physical or emotional pain, pain of the body or mind. So sorrow is really experiencing physical pain, emotional pain of the body or of the mind. Then the third thing that comes into play is confession. Now, confession is when we come into agreement with God. It's when our sorrow meets our Savior. We stop blaming other people. We stop blaming the situation, and we come into agreement with the truth. And what I mean by that, here's an example, is I'm going to confess to God and say, God, I know that in this situation, that when I said this to my husband, that I should not have said what I said. And I'm so sorry. And now I want to start speaking the truth. God, I know that you've called me to honor and respect my husband. I'm just confessing. I'm coming into agreement. I'm admitting with humility the places of my heart that hurt. And I stop blaming. And now I'm looking to the truth. And then from confession comes repentance because I'm walking in humility. Now I'm turning back to God. I'm changing my mind and I want to change my life. So true repentance rarely occurs without godly sorrow. We can't renew what we aren't aware of, and we can't change what we don't confront. Therefore, sorrow can produce death in our lives versus holy living, which is displaying God's character to the world. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, Romans 2:4. The gospel uses great love to draw us into God, and that is why we can break free of this cycle of self-hatred. True sorrow leads to a genuine repentance, to a changed life. If you are looking for a community of godly women to come along and support you, join us inside the Patreon member community. It is a community to equip you to find comfort when things feel like chaos. We are here to walk alongside you. You have resources and biblical studies to walk with you every step of the way. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live.